The New York Philharmonic. From Avery Fisher Hall in New York City's Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, this is Martin Bookspan, speaking to you by delayed broadcast and welcoming you to another concert by the New York Philharmonic. The broadcast is made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Today's concert will be under the direction of guest conductor Erich Leinsdorf, former music director of the Boston Symphony, the Cleveland Orchestra, and the Rochester Philharmonic, and a regular guest conductor of the New York Philharmonic for many years, both in New York and on the orchestra's national and overseas tours. His program offers two contrasting works that spotlight different sections of the orchestra by two of the 20th century's most influential composers, plus a work for the entire orchestra by one of the great composers of the 19th century. We'll hear Schoenberg's Verklärte Nacht, Transfigured Night, for string orchestra, Stravinsky's Concerto for Piano and Wind Instruments, and Dvorak's Symphony No. 6 in D major. The piano soloist in the concerto will be Walter Kleene. In introducing today's program, I referred to Arnold Schoenberg as one of the 20th century's most influential composers. That he certainly was. But the Schoenberg work that Erich Leinsdorf and the New York Philharmonic are about to perform is very much of the 19th century. Schoenberg composed the original version of Transfigured Night in 1899 when he was 24 years old. That was a good dozen years before he would startle the music world and change the direction of much of the 20th century's music with his innovations in 12-tone or dodecaphonic music. But for Transfigured Night, Schoenberg's musical vocabulary is very much that of the 19th century. In fact, it is directly descended from Wagner's Tristan and Isolde in its restless romanticism. Schoenberg originally wrote Transfigured Night as a sextet for violins, violas, and cellos. In 1917, he arranged it for string orchestra, changing nothing of the work's harmony or melody. He merely multiplied the body of strings and added double basses to reinforce the cello line at certain points. 26 years later, in 1943, Schoenberg revised this orchestral version, thinning out the overall texture and modifying some of the score's more expansively romantic expression marks. It is this final 1943 version that Erich Leinsdorf will conduct today. The inspiration for Transfigured Night came from a set of poems by Richard Dehmel, whose works bridged the impressionism of the turn of the century with the expressionism then coming into vogue in the German-speaking countries of Europe. The poem describes two lovers who find in each other the happiness to transform a bleak winter night into a thing of beauty. The poem was considered quite daring in its time, but today both the poem and Schoenberg's music that it inspired are viewed instead as tender, evocative expressions of an almost conservative late romanticism. And now, we await the entrance on stage of Erich Leinsdorf. The applause of the Avery Fisher Hall audience greets guest conductor Erich Leinsdorf as he comes on stage to begin today's New York Philharmonic concert with Arnold Schoenberg's Verklärte Nacht, Transfigured Night, in the 1943 version for string orchestra. Der Klärte Nacht, Transfigured Night by Arnold Schoenberg, has been performed by the strings of the New York Philharmonic under the direction of guest conductor Erich Leinsdorf. Mr. Leinsdorf conducted Schoenberg's 1943 revised edition of the score. And at the conclusion, he embraced concertmaster Glenn Dichterow. Mr. Dichterow, of course, playing the solos for concertmaster written into the score by Schoenberg. In just a few minutes, after some stage rearrangements to replace the Philharmonic's string players with wind players and piano, today's concert, made possible by a grant from Exxon Corporation, will continue with Stravinsky's Concerto for Piano and Winds.
Once there was a young child who dreamed of someday becoming the leader of a great symphony orchestra. He would rap gingerly on the kitchen table with his pencil baton, and his young imagination would take it from there. The make-believe orchestra before him would come to life, and off he would go into his favorite dream. Unfortunately, until a few years ago, few of these dreams ever came true. That's why, in 1973, the Exxon Arts Endowment Conductors Program was founded. In cities across the country, promising young conductors are getting not only the experience of leading a large orchestra, but also behind-the-scenes knowledge of what it takes to run one. The program is funded by Exxon and the National Endowment for the Arts, and administered by affiliate artists. So far, 42 gifted conductors have earned residencies with important American orchestras. 42 dreams turned into reality, and Exxon is proud to have helped make them come true.
From a Schoenberg score for strings, the New York Philharmonic turns now to one by Stravinsky for winds and solo piano. Stravinsky composed his concerto for piano and wind instruments in 1923 and 1924, when he was in his early 40s and living mostly in Paris. At the time of its premiere, Stravinsky described the concerto as, quote, quite in the style of the 17th century, that is, the 17th century viewed from the standpoint of the 20th. Stravinsky even used the 17th century French word harmonie in the title that he wrote on the manuscript, Concerto pour piano suivi d'orchestre d'harmonie. In French musical parlance, the word harmonie can designate either the ensemble of wind instruments within an orchestra or a separate wind band. In Stravinsky's case, the orchestra is primarily the latter, although Stravinsky added to his score several string basses and timpani without changing the essential wind character of the orchestra. He noted at the time that he felt that this type of instrumental body was more appropriate to the tone of a piano concerto than was the usual symphonic orchestra. To quote the composer directly, strings and piano, sounds that are scraped and sounds that are struck, do not sound so well together as piano and winds, sounds that are struck and sounds that are blown. Not all composers or listeners, of course, will agree with Stravinsky's assessment, but his concerto for piano and winds has gone on to win an honored place in the standard concert repertory and among Stravinsky's works in general, much as has Stravinsky's Symphonies of Wind Instruments composed just a few years earlier. The concerto is essentially a solo work in a Baroque sense. It begins with a stately introduction, followed by a driving toccata, in which Stravinsky combines elements of classical sonata form with jazz effects. The second movement is a more rhapsodic largo, and the finale is a lively allegro. Today's piano soloist, Walter Kleene, makes his New York Philharmonic debut with this week's program. He was born in Graz, Austria, and began his musical studies soon after the end of World War II at the Vienna Academy. Walter Kleene at the piano, Erich Leinsdorf conducting wind players of the New York Philharmonic for Igor Stravinsky's Concerto for Piano and Wind Instruments.
Thank you.
The Concerto for Piano and Wind Instruments by Igor Stravinsky has been performed by Walter Kleene as soloist, with members of the New York Philharmonic, Erich Leinsdorf, conducting. And as he did at the conclusion of Verklärte Nacht, when only strings were involved, Mr. Leinsdorf, at the conclusion of the Stravinsky Concerto for Piano and Winds, went to the wind players assembled on the stage here at Avery Fisher Hall to congratulate them for their playing. This week's performance has marked not only Walter Kleene's debut with the New York Philharmonic, but it has also provided a rare opportunity for Americans to hear him in more contemporary repertory than that with which he is usually associated. Walter Kleene has recorded the complete solo works of Mozart and Brahms. They are available in the United States on the Vox family of labels. Mr. Kleene's concerto recordings include Mozart's concertos numbers 17 and 27 with the Minnesota Orchestra on the Candide label, as well as a group of other Mozart concertos with the Vienna Volksoper Orchestra on the Vox Turnabout label. On the second part of today's program, coming to you from Avery Fisher Hall in New York City's Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, Erich Leinsdorf will return to conduct the New York Philharmonic in Dvorak's Sixth Symphony. In just a few moments, guest conductor Erich Leinsdorf will return to the podium to continue today's New York Philharmonic broadcast concert, made possible throughout the United States by a grant from Exxon Corporation. He will conduct the Symphony No. 6 in D major by Antonin Dvorak. Since this was the first of Dvorak's symphonies to be published, it was long known as Dvorak's Symphony No. 1. But in recent years, in accordance with international agreement within the music world to renumber Dvorak's symphonies in their correct compositional sequence, it has rightly assumed its place as the Symphony No. 6. Dvorak composed it in 1879 and 1880 when he was in his late 30s. The impetus for the symphony came from a visit that Dvorak made to Vienna in the fall of 1879. There, he heard a performance of his Slavonic Rhapsody conducted by Hans Richter, then one of Europe's foremost conductors. Richter was so impressed with the Rhapsody that he made Dvorak promise that he would write a symphony that Richter could premiere in Vienna the following season. Dvorak returned to his home in Prague and began working almost immediately on such a symphony. As Edward Downes recounts the story in the New York Philharmonic program book for this concert, Dvorak was so anxious to get the score to Richter that he put four copyists to work at his own expense to make a manuscript copy. But for various reasons, mainly involving politics within the Vienna Philharmonic, the premiere kept getting postponed and postponed. Dvorak finally gave the premiere to the Prague Philharmonic, which at that time consisted of the city's two principal theater orchestras combined. The symphony was a big success at that premiere, and the third movement in the style of a Czech Furiant had to be encored. Richter, meanwhile, never did get to conduct the symphony in Vienna, but he did conduct it in London with notable success in 1882. And it was this success that led to the symphonies becoming the first of Dvorak's symphonies to be published. Here is Erich Leinsdorf to conduct the New York Philharmonic in the Symphony No. 6 in D major by Antonin Dvorak.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Symphony No. 6 in D Major by Dvorak has been performed by the New York Philharmonic under the direction of guest conductor Erich Leinsdorf. This has been the concluding work on today's Exxon New York Philharmonic broadcast concert, coming to you from Avery Fisher Hall in New York City's Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. This week's performance marked the first time that Dvorak's Sixth Symphony has been played by the New York Philharmonic in nearly 15 years. The most recent previous performance took place in 1971 when the conductor was István Kertész, the lamented Hungarian-born conductor who had made a specialty of Dvorak's music. 1 year earlier, in 1970, Stanislav Skrovachevsky led the New York Philharmonic in its first performance of Dvorak's Sixth Symphony since 1931, when the conductor was Erich Kleiber. That 1931 performance, by the way, is believed to have been the first time that the symphony was broadcast nationally as part of the Philharmonic's then-new series on CBS.